Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation on the web at www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I can feel you like an ocean that won't seem to let me go.
Hello and welcome to Signs of Life, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation with our host, Bob Ginsberg. I'm Fran Ginsberg, and our show tonight is sponsored by the Comlock Center, and they can be found on the web at comlock.com. That's K-A-M-L-A-K.com. Our guest tonight is August Goforth, and if you have a question, comment, or would like to talk to our guest, the toll-free number, I'm sorry, here is 888-627-6008. So, Bob, why don't we just dive right into the interview? I know you read the book and you loved it, and you probably have a gazillion questions for August. So why don't we go straight to the interview?
Okay, and August Goforth is a licensed psychotherapist. He's in private practice in New York City. He also happens to be a spirit medium, but he intentionally doesn't utilize his mediumistic abilities for psychotherapy sessions, nor does he work as a professional medium to give readings. This is an ethical as well as a personal spiritual choice. He's the author of the Risen series, and his latest being The Risen, A Companion to Grief, and his articles have been published in many well-established publications. You'll find out more by visiting therisenbooks.com. Welcome back to Signs of Life, August. Pleasure to talk to you again.
It's a pleasure to be back. Thank you.
And you know, before we start, I'm afraid I mentioned that I did read the book and I liked it. And I'd like to mention that, you know, obviously I've read a lot of book about grief throughout the years, and a lot of books about the afterlife. But you've managed to weave an interesting tapestry here. And just when you think that you learned all that you could learn, you raised so many different things for me and others to ponder that just congratulations on the book. It's a wonderful companion, as the title is, for those that are in grief. So, you know, before we start, you know, I noticed that in one of the chapters, I think it was at the beginning of the book, you talk about nourishing a relationship between the physical and spiritual realms, and you wrote something to the effect that not only do you need to be willing, but you need to be fearless. So what do you mean by being fearless when it comes to nourishing a relationship?
Being fearless means to be, there are also three qualities that I mentioned that will prove to people to be, I guess you could call it a kind of attitude or posture to move about through life, including when there's pain and suffering, and that is to be curious and to be unbiased and to be unafraid. I've noticed that a lot of people have had a hard time with the word unbiased. And if you can remain curious and achieve a state of less fear, unbiased, the state of being unbiased arises out of that state. The book talks an awful lot. A lot of this information, of course, is transmitted from people in spirit to me over the years, many thousands of people, really. And I do my best to try to translate the language of spirit into our language as best as I can. And one of the main bedrocks of the messages that I get from my friends in spirit is, don't be afraid. And they say it in many ways, like, don't worry. They're saying, chill out, just relax, don't be afraid, don't worry. And once you achieve even a little bit of less fear, you become more open. And what you're becoming more open to is nourishment. The universe which we're a part of, an inextricable part of. We can't be separated from it, nor it from us, because we are the universe. It can't be without us. That it's constantly trying to bring nourishment in every way possible to us to help us grow and expand, because the nature of the universe is to expand, and science has shown that to us clearly. And fear is something that either blocks the way or shuts it down or pinches it off, and fear sucks the life literally out of us. And grief is one of those fear-based situations where anyone who's gone through it knows very much about all the fear and the desolation and the worry that comes with that. So it's easier said than done.
Yeah. You know, the big question, I mean, you tackle this, you know, in The Risen, but people that are grieving the death of a loved one often have a hard time believing that we're part of a grand design. I mean, after all, they say to themselves, well, you know, why would this grand designer inflict pain and suffering on me? So when you hear that from someone, I mean, how do you reply to such a statement or a question?
That it's okay to feel that way, and it's okay to think that way. That wherever you are, that's where you start from. And that's why one of the things, which several people who have reviewed the book have sort of seized upon, is the idea that we need to have some kind of practice, a spiritual practice in place now. And so even when times are good, when times don't get so good, we'll be ready. We'll be nourished. We'll be strong. We'll be ready. We'll have learned better ways and healthy ways of speaking to ourselves and speaking to other people during the pain and during the fear. We won't be so lost. We won't feel so lost. So everyone, whether they know it or not, does have some kind of a spiritual practice in place. It may not be as good as it could be, but there's something there. And I call it going up the emotional scale of you want to, at some point, you will want to move from this state that doesn't feel good to a state that feels better. But in the meantime, I just let people believe whatever they want to believe, have whatever they want to have, feel whatever they want to feel. It's okay. Most of the time when people are in that state, what they need very much of is just rest and peace and quiet. And if I can help them with that, that's what I support. Because I know that, for example, the body, our body, appears to be designed it's designed to self-heal. So if you cut yourself, if you leave it alone and you don't poke at it too much and get out of the way, it will heal. And that is just a smaller rule that's embedded in a larger universal rule that the universe constantly is healing towards a state of wholeness. It always wants to be in a state of wholeness, and it wants us to be in a state of wholeness. So when we have these terrible injuries that traumatize us, that there are ways of healing if we can get out of the way and let the universe heal us. And again, that's getting fear out of the way, but it's also not forcing it. So if you get a cut on your hand, you're not going to try to force it to heal. You're going to take your hands off it and let it rest. And that's what I would want people in deep grief to do, is just to get lots of rest, at least to begin with.
Yeah, and I know that you use the metaphor of a sort of like a pendulum or a seesaw when we navigate our physical lives. And you know, grief is a weapon of the ego mind, you write. And we make progress when we... It's all about finding balance, isn't it? Letting go of our established beliefs. You even talk about floating, you know. If we can allow ourselves to float... in a sense, that actually makes us more grounded, because we can let go and just live in the present moment. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, exactly. What a lot of the pain is, emotional pain as well as physical pain, is resistance. Either our muscles are very tightened against the pain, and so the doctor might give us something to relax our muscles. In the same way that our emotional life is in pain, we're tensing up, and that resistance is causing the pain. And so if we can find a way to fear not, to relax, to float, the healing will start. And that looks great on paper, and it sounds easy enough to say, but anyone who's been in the very deepest throes of grief knows how hard that is. And so this book was written kind of to address those people, because it says none of us are going to escape grief. We're all have gone through and are going to go through it. And each time, for myself, I found it's been a learning process. I dread it for the most part, but I still have learned slowly to turn the energy of grief into something higher. And so it's an opportunity to turn something that isn't so good into something that's better.
Mm. We're talking with August Goldforth, the author of The Risen, A Companion to Grief. There's a lot to talk about with August. We're going to take a quick break. We come back, maybe we'll take a couple of questions. So stay with us. We'll be back in a few minutes.
The CAMLAC Center is putting birth and death back together again. Aimed at changing the way we look at death, the CAMLAC Center was founded in 2002 as a publishing company and teaching center. When we know that there is nothing but life, we realize that birth and death are events in time and space. Our grief can open us to other dimensions of reality and allow us to experience our loved ones who are no longer in the physical body. Our events and products are based on personal experiences of survival of consciousness after physical death and decades of research into how death has influenced the development of our consciousness. Visit www.camlac.com, that's K-A-M-L-A-K.com, for articles, videos, books, and more to help you cope with the loss of a loved one.
We all grieve in different ways, and let's face it, grief hurts. Losing a loved one is usually the hardest event we will ever face. We can throw our hands up and become hardened by our grief, or we can take positive steps to transform it. Love Knows No Death, a groundbreaking and powerful grief transformation method, can be what you've been looking for to provide some peace and understanding. It was created and written by medical doctor and professor Dr. Piero Calvi Perazzetti, and it's a combination of a self-help workbook and video course. The workbook has the power to lessen grief and foster significant healing, and has already helped countless people to not only lead productive lives, but to do so with the knowledge that they will indeed see their loved ones again. The workbook could be purchased for $19.95 on Amazon or on the ForeverFamilyFoundation.org grief and loss page, where a digital version is also available for $9.95. Love Knows No Death. Truer words have never been spoken.
Imagine seeing spirits are spontaneously speaking indigenous Brazilian rainforest languages. Janet Mayer, a psychic medium, does just that. In her new book, Spirits, They Are Present, she opens the door to her private life in order to share her compelling, fearful, and at times humorous journey, providing evidence that when we die, we simply make a transition to another life. Spirits, They Are Present, available now at www.janetmayer.net, Amazon, and other online booksellers. Order your copy today.
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide a forum where individuals and families who have suffered the loss of a loved one can turn for support, information, and hope. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. The Forever Family Foundation is a joint effort of scientists, research mediums, and interested people who support the premise that life does not end with physical death. We wish to prove that the bond of the family cannot be broken even by death. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707. That's 631-425-7707. Or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
For those just tuning in, our guest this evening is August Goforth. Our sponsor tonight is the Comlock Center, and they could be found on the web at comlock.com. Bob?
Well, you know, before we get rolling with August again, do you want to take a phone call?
Sure. We have Darlene on line 3.
Okay. Hello, Darlene.
Hello.
Welcome to Science of Life. Did you have a question for our guest?
Yes, I do. Should I ask it?
Sure. He's right here.
Oh, hi, August.
Hi, Mary.
Hi. I am in very much deep grief. My husband passed away 2 years ago, and my son passed away 24 years ago. And in the last couple of days, I have been getting messages from both of them since I've been listening to the Signs of Life again. And I have a question. Is that them? And I need an answer on where I should go. I'm alone. I have no one but my granddaughter. And my daughter she's bipolar, and we don't talk.
Yeah, so you're kind of isolated.
I'm very isolated. I don't like where I'm at. And we were married 40 years. And he died in his sleep next to me. Mm. And I haven't heard from him, but the last couple of days I'm pretty positive it's them. But
well,
I don't know where to go.
Well, it sounds like you're already going. That you said that you hadn't really heard anything until you started doing something, which you were starting to listen to Signs of Life again.
Right.
And this is what you want to continue to do. It wouldn't surprise me if he was the one, or your son was the one, who kind of whispered in your ear to do this. Because what it does is it starts clearing away the old debris of the past and starts opening up new doors for you, and it's raising your vibration. Listening to something like Signs of Life, reading things, starting to do research, you're starting to live again. You're starting to stand up. Your curiosity is being aroused, and they want you to raise your vibration towards theirs. They sort of want you to get off the floor and stand up and be with us now. And so if you continue following your intuition and doing what feels like the right way to go, anything that makes you feel a little bit better is always the right way to go. Know that you're not alone. Even though there may not be a lot of people around you in body, there are a lot of people in spirit around you. And it seems like they're the ones that are trying to get you to do things. They want you to change a little bit. They want you to move around. They want you to feel better. Does that make sense?
Yes, it makes sense. And I've been physically hurting myself, not on purpose. Like, my back keeps going out, and
I would say that's probably, that could very well be, I'm not going to do psychotherapy with you, but I would say that could be
right.
A lot of your repressed anger or your worry or your fear that kind of makes us clutches sometimes, and we don't always move the right way. So you also might want to think of finding a counselor or a therapist or just someone that you can talk to that will take you out of that isolation, and also it's a safe and confidential place where you can start talking about these things. And you need to get it out. You don't want to keep it in. You want to get it out. So you're going in a good direction, believe it or not.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Darlene. And it sounds like your loved ones are opening up a channel of communication. So keep paying attention, and your answers should come more frequently.
Is there any way I can get a message so I know it's them?
Well, that's...
What kind of message do you want?
I want my granddaughter's nickname he gave her.
Well, this is the time that you start trying to test them and make them jump through hoops. This is
right.
The time where you kind of chill out and they're really just saying, calm down, relax, just listen to what we're saying. And a lot of what they're saying will come through feelings. You might even have some very good dreams. Keep your eye on the horizon. That's one thing we say in our book. It's stand up, let your curiosity take you through life, because your loved ones are waiting for you ahead of you. and they want you to face them and walk towards them. They don't want you to sit down and cover your head in agony. They want you to stand up, and they want you to be happy because they're happy, and they can't wait to be rejoined with you, believe me. So that's something great to look forward to.
Okay. Thank you for calling, darling.
Thank you very much.
All right, take care.
You're welcome.
Well, because you referred to grief as a form of energy, and most people don't think of it, you know, in those terms. But if it is energy, I guess it's logical to assume that we can foster that energy into a higher vibration or spiritual.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Yeah, that's really the direction you were going with that, right?
Right. So Einstein and many other scientists have since said that energy can't be created or destroyed, but it can be transformed. It's always transforming. In fact, we can't stop it from transforming. It just seems like the universe wants to be on the move all the time and evolve and change and expand. And it occurred to me that just like anger is energy, happiness is energy, sadness is an energy, grief is an energy too. And that was my question from the very beginning when the first book came through, that the people I call the risen were using grief as an example almost all through the book in terms of transformation and talk when they wanted to talk about fear, the ego mind. And so this new book talks about grief as a form of energy and asks the question, can it be transformed? And to realize that, yes, it can be transformed, and we're the ones that either have to take a little bit of our own energy in order to add to it to transform it into something better, or we can just sort of let it go on its own. And so it's kind of an experiment in many ways, too.
Yeah, and I know you also write about, you know, changing beliefs. You know, you're right. If we can change our belief, we can change our feelings, which changes our minds, which can change our experience. So if we can manage to change the way that we think, you know, we can come to the realization that our departed loved ones are not departed, that they not only still exist, but they're thriving. And I guess that's how transformation takes place.
Right. As a good example, Darlene, who just called in, her mind was going in sort of one direction. It kind of kept wanting to return to 24 years ago and the grief that she's been carrying as a burden with herself. And that's what she's doing with that energy. It's just sort of feeding off itself and going around and around, kind of spiraling downward, really. And just getting... say, like the three of us were talking about it, we were reframing it, we were using different language, we were introducing different ideas, we were making it a living thing and trying to transform this. Can we think about this in a different way? Can we use different words? How does this word make us feel when we talk about it as opposed to that kind of thing? And so the words are starting to change the feeling, and the feeling is changing the vibration, which changes the way we think, changes the way we feel, it then changes the way we behave. It changes the way that we can hear things. It changes the way we can say things. Everything starts changing. And that's much better than being stuck in this horrible place of grief that a lot of people get stuck in.
Mm. And of course, when you refer to the risen, we're talking about, you know, those in the spirit realm. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people would ask, I mean, do those in the risen world feel our grief, I mean, the same way that they feel our love? I mean, they're both emotions.
They say they do, which is kind of surprising to me. They have their own form of, I guess you could call it heartache, they have less barriers to their feelings, and they can feel us. We can feel them, too, whenever... we're thinking about them, they're thinking about us. Whenever we're having feelings about them, they're having feelings. It's all goes back to that quantum mechanics kind of thing about two particles that become entangled, and our loved ones in spirit, we're entangled with them. So time and space don't really matter. But they do say that they feel their own form of, I don't know what the word would be, I don't think it's grief, but discomfort. Because we're not comfortable. They want us to be happy as well, too.
Yeah. Well, I kind of resonated with that because, I mean, emotions appear to be, strong emotions in any direction seem to be conduits, you know, for those in the spirit realm. And I know when I was, you know, going through my own grief process, I shouldn't use the term process, I hate that term, but, you know, I used to try to reason things out in my own mind, you know, I was open to the possibility that my heavy grief in some way would either disturb or hold back my loved one in spirit. So I used to use that as a personal mechanism to try not to do that, you know, because, you know, if we try to send positive thoughts and love, you know, there's more of a chance of both us and them moving on. Do you hear that often?
Oh, yeah, sure. And people kind of prove it to themselves that it just, you start noticing that how you are using your thinking will make you feel one way. And if you use it in a different way, you'll feel in another way. And so it seems like the people in spirit who can connect with us or resonate with us are trying to stimulate us in ways to think better, to think differently, to forget about the past, don't worry as much as we're doing. That seems to be the constant thing. They're saying there's nothing to be afraid of. There's nothing to worry about. We're here as living proof of that. And that no matter how afraid and dark we are, that when we do cross over, very often all of that just falls away very, very quickly. And they want us to be happy for them. And at some point we kind of have to stop being so self-absorbed and join them. It's our grief and fear that kind of keeps us apart. It's so like someone like Darlene, like if you're worrying all the time that you're not getting this message that you want or something, that worry is actually acting as a barrier between the better emotions that you could be feeling with the person who's waiting for you to feel those emotions with them.
Mm. You had a very personal experience. We almost drowned, you know, as a child. Would you mind recounting that a bit? Because it's very compelling.
Which one?
Well, you were in the lake, I believed, and you found yourself underwater. And yeah.
So not unlike a lot of stories that mediums tell, when I was very small, I know I wasn't in school yet. I was at a local lake and saw other older children running off a dock and jumping into the water. So I did that. And it was just, you know, a four-year-old, you only take your eye off them for 2 seconds and they're gone. And my mother had done that. And so I jumped into the water and I didn't know how to swim. I didn't know what swimming was. And I didn't know really what drowning was either. So I just opened my mouth and I inhaled all this water and I felt it fill my lungs and that weight just sunk me to the bottom. And I didn't quite hit the bottom, but I was suspended between the surface and the bottom. And I immediately started hearing the most glorious ringing of bells and all this music. I thought, like, there's a church down here. It was very odd. And then I saw people coming towards me all lit up and they were singing and saying my name and saying, we're coming, it's okay, don't worry. And it was just a total ecstasy for me as a child. And then the next thing I knew, someone had grabbed me by the hair and pulled me out of the water. And it did some kind of emergency procedure on me and brought me back. And the first thing that I did was I got incredibly angry and tried to break away from the people who were helping me because I wanted to run back and jump into the water. And they were very upset because they thought, you know, that there was some sort of, you know, was my child mentally ill or, you know, did he eat some poison and it's making him go crazy? And they were very worried about me. And I was really angry and I wouldn't talk to anybody for days. I was so mad at them for rescuing me. And I still remember every night that week I lay in bed at night just reliving the thing, the whole experience over and over and over again. I just wanted to go back so badly. And I've never obviously forgotten it. It stayed with me very much. The, you know, the emotions that it brought to me were emotions on a scale that I never experienced with, you know, ordinary people in ordinary life. It was above and beyond any kind of emotions that I ever experienced, and I can still feel them.
Well, you know, you had a kind of a classic near-death experience before people were talking about near-death experiences, you know. But the fact that you were so young and you had this state of ecstasy is kind of evidential of what's to come, you know. I mean, you weren't filtered by society yet, you know, and you didn't have any preconceived notions. So what you saw was real.
Right, and then later on when I was old enough to be allowed to go to funerals and wakes and see lifeless bodies and be around people's grief, I didn't make the connection. It didn't make any sense why people were so upset that this person's body was no longer moving, because I already seemed to have this knowledge that was transmitted to me that's just a stage, just a temporary stage where we're at, and eventually we're all going to go jump in the water, and we're going to go to this much, much better place where the music is much better and the people are much better.
Mm. You know, I think there's a misconception in a lot of people when they think that when you cross over and you enter the spirit realm that you could pretty much communicate with the physical realm at any time, and therefore they wonder why they may not be getting regular communications, you know, from their loved ones. But I suspect that communicating from the risen side is difficult, you know. So do you think that people need help in the spirit realm, in reaching the physical world?
Well, sure. I mean, just look how hard it is. We as human beings on this planet have trouble communicating with each other. So it's just going to be multiplied all that much more, but also the kind of belief systems that we have adopted and internalized, we take with us to a great deal. It sort of forms our belief systems, and our emotions will form the world around us and the environment around us when we're on what they call the other side. And a lot of people arrive there with no kind of belief system whatsoever in the afterlife, so it's going to take them a while to settle down and wrap their minds around that. So they're not even approaching the idea of, is it possible to get back in touch with people? If it was easy to do, a lot more of it would be happening, that's for sure. So that's kind of a clue right there that my friend Tim, who is a big part of the book in terms of my connection with spirit, has told me that first people have to believe that such thing is possible, just like it is here. You kind of have to believe it's possible to connect people on the other side, and they have to believe that too. And they have to want it really, really strongly. And they actually have to go to some kind of instructional course or classes or something to show how it's done, because there's not a right way or wrong way, but there's always better ways of doing it. So our expectation that, well, gee, they should know everything on how to do this once they get over there is kind of a false expectation. You just don't get a diploma that allows you to know how to do everything just because you get on the other side. You still have to earn it. You still have to do the work over there. If you don't do it here, then you're going to have to do it there. So I always encourage people to start doing it here now.
Mm. So we can actually prepare ourselves for the spirit world while we're in the physical. I mean, if we live our lives in a certain fashion and we're open to all these ideas and we come to the knowledge that we are going to survive, you know, perhaps we start out from a better vantage point, so to speak, in the other realm. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we're going to go to a break, and when we come back, I know that in the book, The Risen, you have a lot of compelling accounts from those in the risen world about what the afterlife is actually like, and that's something that almost everybody is curious about. So perhaps when we come back from break, we can talk about that a little bit. So stay with us. We'll be back in a couple of minutes with August Goforth, author of The Risen, A Companion to Grief.
The CAMLAC Center is putting birth and death back together again. Aimed at changing the way we look at death, the CAMLAC Center was founded in 2002 as a publishing company and teaching center. When we know that there is nothing but life, we realize that birth and death are events in time and space. Our grief can open us to other dimensions of reality and allow us to experience our loved ones who are no longer in the physical body. Our events and products are based on personal experiences of survival of consciousness after physical death and decades of research into how death has influenced the development of our consciousness. Visit www.camlac.com, that's K-A-M-L-A-K.com, for articles, videos, books, and more to help you cope with the loss of a loved one.
Am I Psychic is a mobile app designed using statistics, science, and parapsychological protocols to test psychic ability using fun games. Each game has two unique modes. In psychokinesis mode, influence the game using mind over matter ability. In extrasensory perception mode, guess which random option will be chosen. Am I Psychic can store your results in an anonymous database used to eventually publish in academic journals. Available on the App Store and Google Play. Go to ampsychicapp.com and be a part of proving psychic phenomena to the world. Some profits will be donated to the Rhine Research Center.
When grieving the loss of a loved one, sometimes a hug is just what you need. Hugs from Heaven are lightly weighted shoulder wraps that are made from the fabric of your loved one's clothing. Your clothing can also be made into memory pillows and sachets. Each Hugs from Heaven is handmade with loving care and is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Visit us at hugsfromheaven.com. That's Hugs, spelled with a Z, from heaven.com. Who couldn't use a hug?
We all grieve in different ways, and let's face it, grief hurts. Losing a loved one is usually the hardest event we will ever face. We can throw our hands up and become hardened by our grief, or we can take positive steps to transform it. Love Knows No Death, a groundbreaking and powerful grief transformation method, can be what you've been looking for to provide some peace and understanding. It was created and written by medical doctor and professor Dr. Piero Calvi Perazzetti, and it's a combination of a self-help workbook and video course. The workbook has the power to lessen grief and foster significant healing, and has already helped countless people to not only lead productive lives, but to do so with the knowledge that they will indeed see their loved ones again. The workbook can be purchased for $19.95 on Amazon or on the foreverfamilyfoundation.org grief and loss page, where a digital version is also available for $9.95. Love knows no death. Truer words have never been spoken.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
We're just tuning in. We have been talking to August Goforth. Our sponsor tonight is the CAMLAC Center, and they can be found on the web at CAMLAC.com. Here are some updates on Forever Family Foundation events and happenings. First, we want to remind our listeners to always check the events page on our website regularly. That's foreverfamilyfoundation.org. And let me let you know about our upcoming free events next month in May. On May 12th from 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern, and that's 11 to noon Pacific time, the Visionary Explorers Group meets online. And also on May 12th from 1 to 3 p.m. Eastern, the Afterlife Discussion Group meets in Miami, Florida. We also hope that everyone enjoyed honoring Mother Earth this past Sunday, which was not only Earth Day, but the day the winners were pulled for our annual Holiday of the Earth raffle. The winners have been posted on our website, and we ask that you please be patient while we get written instructions out to you. So please do not call the office. We can now all look forward to our Holidays Past Raffle 2018, and we send deep gratitude to all of you who supported our work through your raffle purchases. There are still select first and second row reserved seating available for our Afterlife Luncheon on May 6th. So you might want to reserve those seats now for a full five-hour day with two very special people who have all the answers about the afterlife. Lloyd Auerbach, one of the world's leading parapsychologists and respected expert on ghost hauntings and poltergeist phenomena, teams up with Forever Family Foundation certified medium Kim Russo, star of the TV series The Haunting of, as she will connect with those in spirit who will lead her to their loved ones in the audience. Plan to be at the Hilton Long Island Huntington in Melville, New York, for this full day, which includes a scrumptious luncheon. Our next webinar is set for June 27th at 9 p.m. Eastern, when Maureen Seberg will present synesthesia and the phenomenon of near-death and out-of-body experiences. The webinars are $6 for members and $20 for non-members. Our annual Summer Grief Retreat in Chester, Connecticut is set for August 17th through 19th. Here is what one of the many past attendees have said about the experience. I was lucky enough to attend their annual grief retreat in July, and it was an experience that helped me tremendously. Being around people who were going through the same thing as me and searching for answers and contact from our loved ones. I love that they focus on science and proof that our consciousness survives our physical death. And that sums it all up. It's a complete weekend working with Forever Family Foundation certified mediums and experienced facilitators. It is deliberately kept small and designed to transform your grief. Details and registration links are on our website. Also, registration has begun for our biennial weekend in Fort Myers, Florida, this coming November 9 through 11, mediums behind the scenes. Imagine spending a weekend with six Forever Family Foundation certified mediums, along with noted experts on the afterlife. The event features frequent spirit communication, small teaching workshops, and group presentations, all designed to facilitate connections, foster your own communications with spirit, and learn about what happens after death. We also have a lot of fun things planned for the weekend with simple pricing that includes both Friday night and Saturday night banquets with entertainment and spirit communication. And please, please, please help us keep all of our programs going by visiting our website and clicking on the donation button. It's on every single page. Because of the work we do not receive the grants and funding that all other traditional nonprofits enjoy. You can also help us pay our bills by participating in iGive.com, Amazon.com, Amazon Smile, and great nonprofits. Okay, I'm all done. Back to you, Bob.
Okay. And we're back with August Goforth. The book is The Risen, A Companion to Grief. August, before the break, I mentioned, we get this question countless times. Everybody wants to know. They're curious about, you know, what the afterlife is like. And you have collaborators that wrote, you know, the books with you, and they gave you some pretty good indications. People want to know things like, you know, do we, you know, how do we communicate? You know, do we live in houses? Do we eat? Do we travel? So can you give us a couple of highlights of what you've gleaned?
Yes, and it would be pretty much just a repetition of, if you look into especially any of the old books about mediumship experiences in the afterlife, for some reason or other, the mediums back in the day seem to be much more in tune with people on the other side, with the risen. So, yes, it's all true that life goes on and people continue to have lives and they're very creative, and everyone has something to do if you want something to do, and people can live in houses if they want to live in houses. What I've come to understand is that because the vibration which is a word we throw around an awful lot. Maybe there should be a show on what the heck vibration means. But when the vibration is higher, we're approaching a better state of mind. And what my friend Tim and others have shown me is that, and now scientists are actually showing this too in some of their quantum mechanic experiences, that that consciousness doesn't arise out of the universe, but the universe arises out of consciousness. And when we are freed of these material bodies in this heavier, lower vibrating material world, we're living in a place where there's much more freedom, and the things that we think and the things that we feel actually manifest around us as our world, which supposedly is happening to us now. It's just going so slow, we don't really know it, but where Tim and other people are, they notice it. So if people want to have a certain experience there of growing flowers or going on a picnic somewhere or building a house, it happens much, much faster. Drilled down, what it really means is that the world arises out of their mentality and out of their emotional state of being. So it's very important about people's emotional state of being when they arrive on the other side. And it's not really to worry. Like, even if we're not doing so well when we go through our physical transition here, we'll feel so much better when we're over there that the world will appear to be very beautiful. And so there are different stories in the both books that I've written that people have shared to me, as best as I could translate what their experience was like. At the end of the day, I've come to realize, too, that they're trying to dumb it down for me because there's no way I could possibly even imagine what their world is really like. They're just putting it in very simple terms, like we would for someone who's in kindergarten. And I guess I'm just going to have to wait till I get there, like everyone else, to really know what it's like.
What about, how people talk about helpers or guides in the spirit world? I mean, do we all have them?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And some of us may be very aware at different levels of intensity of them, and other times we're not very aware of it. So I know lots of people, including myself, I have certain people I would call spirit guides, but it's not important to them to give me their identity. Their names don't matter. It's just that they're there to guide me. They never interfere with our lives, as far as I can see. They will make suggestions, and they will try to make things a little bit easier, but ultimately we have to make the decisions about what we want to do and what we don't want to do.
You raised an interesting point that I hadn't thought of, and people are always saying, when is my loved one going to send me a sign? I need my loved one to send me a sign. You suggest that, maybe they need a sign from us, so it goes both ways, right?
It is. Yeah, we're pretty selfish, aren't we? It's like we're just waiting for them to send us a sign, send me a sign.
Right.
And maybe they're waiting for us to send them a sign. And what that means is they want us to stop grieving for them and to reach out for them like a living person and to show interest in them, in the relationship that we want to have with them. So, again, the caller, Darlene, was a great example where suddenly she wanted a sign, and they suggested to her, well, why don't you give us a sign that you really are serious about this, that you want us to focus on you in some kind of a way. And so she started listening to Forever Family Foundation, to the radio show again, and that showed them that she actually is more interested in connecting with them and less interested in wallowing in her grief. And that raises the vibration. So whatever we do in the way that they can feel our feelings, if we suddenly just It's what I call sacred diligence. Sacred diligence is having a spiritual practice every day in some little way. It could just mean doing a gratitude list when you get up in the morning for the things you're thankful for. It could mean going to church or temple, or it could mean making donations to important places, or just doing an act of kindness, or meditation, or mindfulness, or reading inspirational books and listening to inspirational podcasts. You have to have some kind of a spiritual practice in place. And that opens us up, and the people on the other side seem to be able to detect this behavior of ours much better, or they're more interested in that behavior much better, because it shows that we're striving towards a higher spiritual life, and that allows us. They'll meet us halfway, but we kind of have to indicate that we're interested in that.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people, you know, when they're talking to somebody that's in grief, they'll say, well, you know, your loved one lives on in your heart. And I understand why they say that, because, you know, it's the love that you carry with you. But I always think of people in the risen world maybe cringing at that, because they don't live on in our hearts. They live on. They already know that in the risen world, right?
Right. Well, also, the heart is a metaphor as well, too, just for that emotional state of unconditional love. Like, we'll love them no matter what. We'll love them even if they're dead. It doesn't matter, you know, and they'll love us, too. So it's that kind of emotional state of being that allows us to connect with them. I think we said in the first book, the fact that people say things like that, and sometimes they'll even sort of put their hand over their heart, like they're right here, they're patting their heart, that's demonstrating a very deep intuitional understanding that people really do live, and that our loved ones actually do have bodies on the other side, that somehow we're still going to be connecting with them. It's sort of like we're a little psychic about that. We kind of have foreknowledge that all is going to be well, that we're going to make our transition, we're going to wake up on the other side and be greeted by all these wonderful people.
And we have been talking with August Goforth, The Risen, A Companion to Grief. I don't mind, you know, telling our listeners that if you are in grief, or you know somebody that's in grief, you really owe it to yourself to pick up a copy of this book. It's we only touched on a brief bit of the content. You could read it 3-4 times and keep coming up with new insights and understanding. So it's a wonderful book. I thank you for writing it, and I thank you for coming on the show, and hope to talk to you again soon.
Yeah, let's get together soon. This is always lots of fun for me. Thank you so much.
Okay, take care. Have a good night.
We now ask our listeners to please join us in our Healing Energy Circle prayer. May the universe create a channel of healing energy from our participating listeners, sending that energy to those who are in need of recovery of the physical body, spirit, and mind, as we visualize the healing light upon Michael Tim, Glenna Irwin, Diane Archangel, Ed O'Brien, Evelyn Ingram, Angelina Diana, and Robin Murray. Now let us as one consciousness give our energy of loving thought by praying like this: to love one another, to treat others as we would like to be treated, to forgive others and return love for hate, kindness for anger, to spread this feeling to everyone, to our fellow man, as well as the earth and its environment. And now it's time to say,
our loved ones are only a heartbeat away,
and science is going to prove it.
Good night, everyone.